When glory walk the street. Hurrah, my first day off the medicine. Yes. Then catch a car beside you, snigger. Good day, Mr. Bantic Cootaloons. And now another winking at a van. And soon all go, look, here comes the prating gravy muncher. See him scold his shadow, ha ha. Raise his hat to lampposts, and out you run to argue with a bus. And now you flying truly thwack to bones, and no padding. And when you wake to find you sat at tiny desk, scribbing scratchhead maths, while kiddies peek around the door with giggles, pointing, there's the funny man. And now here comes the teacher with a copper. Then welcome. Ooh, package holiday. Welcome. In blue jam. Blue jam. Blue jam.
What happens usually is that he comes to the front door and rings the bell, and I open the door and say something like, why didn't you use your key, love? And he says he's lost it, and I ask him why, and he says he's been gang raped, you know, in the bottom by a gang of street puffs. And I say, well, come in, don't just stand there. And he walks very stiffly in with his face all twisted up.
Yeah, on tiptoe, the ass up like this.
He says he's bleeding. I say, oh my God, we'd better have a look. So he takes his trousers off to show me. And by then, I'm very ready. You know, aching for a fuck.
We got a phone call one day saying he'd wandered into a police station with his pockets full of heroin.
How old are
they? He was 3 and a half.
The playgroup phoned up and said they'd found her eating a dead bird.
All feathers in her mouth.
Honking like a pig.
We never taught her that.
Well, the competition to get our child into the best school in this area is so intense that we have to use whatever methods we can to ensure our child's success. And one way of doing that is to rubbish the opposition. And there are various techniques that we use to do this.
Hello. I'm just a bit worried about your little boy.
We spread rumours about the other children in the local newspapers.
Well, we're a bit concerned because we saw him incinerating a live crow. It could have been a squirrel, it was a bit charred. I think I've seen him driving a car as well. He's 3, I think. I have got some pictures, actually. My husband has a lens.
But, you know, we do things like get them drunk, which is quite easy.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Marina.
Oh, my God. What's happened?
I've brought Marcus home.
Marcus?
Yeah, I found him out on the green. I think he's drunk.
Drunk?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Marcus?
He's passed out.
Who is it?
It's Daniel. He's brought Marcus. He's drunk.
Yeah, there were 3 or 4 empty beer cans with him.
What's going on?
Marcus? Marcus?
He stinks of beer.
Oh, by the way, he had these as well. There's a couple of half-smoked ones in there. Well, if there's anything I can do...
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks
for ringing. I might not
know.
Thanks.
Shit.
Some of them are very simple, like put on a T-shirt with an obscene slogan and then just push them through the gates of the school that they're trying to get into. And, but of course, then the school rings up the parents when they find out who the parents are and, well, that ruins their chances. Mm.
Here we are then, Billy. You haven't seen a nice pig.
One little girl, every time she came round, we'd just lock her in the shed with a pig.
Yeah. Of course, it would be nice if we didn't have to do this. But it does work. And I like to think we're pretty good at it.
Now, you know what you've got to say? More porn now.
More porn now!
Good.
I don't think we're going to have any trouble with Wendy's boy.
No.
OK.
Now say... Huckleborn!
Huckleborn!
Good boy.
I had been in town for 4 days, on a roof. I hadn't meant to be there that long. I'd just gone up to check a pigeon trap I'd set last year and been cornered by a paper sack which kept blowing at me in a scary way. The roof was near the office of Stephen Vaughan. He edits a pull-out section. I thought he might lend me the money to get home. "Hey, Buzz, looking shit," said Vaughan. He always calls me by the wrong name. He said he needed a piece on street sausage vendors and offered me 200 quid if I sampled 30 sausages and filed by Friday. The angle was, we don't know which ones make you sick. Susie said £200 was very low for 2,000 words. Not as low as £20, I said, which is what you paid me for being sick in that documentary. By 3 o'clock the next afternoon, I'd drawn a sausage. 2 days passed in very similar fashion. I told Susie I must be a writer because I had writer's blank. She said this was balls and told me to get out and eat some sausages. It's Thursday now, so you'll have to eat them all today. By 10 a.m. I'd scoffed 14. The more I ate, the less I felt like walking, so the last 6 had come from the same wagon. The vendor kept peering at me as I sat and wrote. When I went to buy number 15, he said, "I'm telling Turkish Bob about you. He don't like people getting nosy on his meat." 16 sausages later, I'd had an extra one to impress Vaughan. I was prodding at a shop demo laptop in Dixon's. I detailed my test method, feeling bloated and toxic. The nausea thickened as I realized there was no way of telling which sausage might be most responsible for what level of illness. "May I ask what you're doing?" It was a woman's voice. "Do I know you?" I said. "Not exactly," she laughed. but you're no doubt experiencing that strange frisson of talking to someone who seems familiar because you know them so well from their photos. Isn't it a weird feeling? What photos? Oh, come on, look, she said, and rested her chin on the back of her hand, glanced to the left, and sucked in her cheeks. What's that? I said. Oh, honestly, why do you think everybody's looking at me? Well, because you're making quite a noise. My zzz was cut off by the book of her because. Because I'm Ruby Fuss. I write on a Friday, and I couldn't help noticing that you're writing a story on that computer. I started to explain. Hang on, she said, and dug a tape recorder out of her bag. I haven't had a decent story since Bolan died. She told me Bolan was her terminally ill dog, and that she'd charted his death every week for 4 months, and that all London was weeping. God, it's been pants getting stuff for the column. I was going to have to get myself drug-raped for this week, she said, brandishing a jar of tablets. She gave me one and started asking questions. No one has been that interested in me since school, when I nailed my hand to my head. As we talked of salty meat and Turkish Bob, I began to sweat and dribble. The shop became a giddy plug hole of plastic, price cards, and a father and child asking if I had finished with the laptop. I opened my mouth to answer, but words don't really form in a boiling geyser of pork. Ruby Fuss said, perfect. In a phone box 24 hours later, pale and shaking, I told Vone I had my piece on a disc. I've called it De Botulis Calidis, and it takes its form from a scientific paper. Shall I bring it round? Vone explained that my piece had been reprioritized since Ruby Fuss had come up with something very similar, that not only mentioned sausages, but a guy writing about them on a shop computer and then puking on a kid. Altogether a much better framing than mine. That was me, I said. Well, we don't want the same piece twice. But I was commissioned. Grow up, he said. I'm ripping you off. Then he asked me how I felt. Then he said he'd just decided to write a piece about the abuse of freelance writers, and could he use my story since it would really illustrate the point. But I was sick about 10 times, I said. I could hear him already tapping on the keyboard. Then I could hear him asking me to send in my disc anyway, as a perfect verite example of the sort of work that was being ripped off. I got no money, I said. We agreed on a price of £10. The girl at reception had a message from Vone. Look up, it said. I looked up. A camera went flash. He says your photo will add genuine pathos, said the photographer. And I agree. Both articles appeared the next day. Both stated that 98% of street sausages contained lethal microbes and fly eggs, and mentioned in passing that Turkish Bob was a bastard. 4 days later, he found me and pulped me with a griddle.
Welcome back, radio listeners. This is hour two of the Oob Radio Salon, episode number 146. Today's theme is Long Player's Journey into Night. I am your guest host, Suki O'Kane, and you can get in touch with me by looking deep within your soul. I am here along with Das,
no!
Nina Pixie,
yes!
And Univac. We've just returned from the intermission segment of our show, and we listened to Blue Jam, episode 24. You are tuned to DFM Radio International, broadcasting on the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, featuring live programs and independent music streaming from around the world. www.dfm.nu. And now, heading back into more live experimental frequencies.
Dealers of America. yet it can be one of the most interesting programs of the year.
Bye. All roll into one. establishing our specific rhythm and the possibilities of our time. The discovery of true communication is what it was about. Or at least the quest for such a the adventure of finding it is losing the unaccepting filling in the silences with our own wishes.
poo, 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 and blew him out of the gas station.
Thanks for listening. That wraps up this week's show. Tune into UB Radio Salon each week at this same time on dfm.nu. If you missed any of today's show, archives of past UB Radio Salons can be found at the Internet Archive via our website's radio link at ubueb.org. That's ubueibi.org. Video clips of past hijinks are available at vimeo.com/ubueb. Next week, we'll have nobody with us in the studio.
Only the evil oobs of UB Radio.
This has been the Long Player's Journey into Night. Stay tuned to DFM Radio International. Coming up next, Pabo Logic, live from the Netherlands.
Ever since then, I always carry this.
Yeah. But that's the name of the last surviving. We are Johnny Shrek.